I heard one of my mentors said, like, it's easy to get to number one. It's hard to stay at number one. And I was like, shit.
That's true.
Damn it. It's like a hamster wheel. Like, number one is a hamster wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, really. Well, but hey, it's... Yeah.
Like, people get hungry to get up to number one, and then you hit it, and you know...
But then
what's driving you to the next one?
Well, no, but, like, that's the thing. Is like, you get to number one, and now, like, you're the target. You're the guy.
Yeah.
Like, uh-oh. I'm coming for you. What's up, guys?
Hey.
How are you doing?
Good.
Good. How are you? Yeah, there's no fancy intros. I was going to say S Ranker.
Chilling.
Have you ever watched that? Do you watch The Office?
Yeah,
never.
Do you remember? Really? Are you being sarcastic?
I've never seen it, no.
Dude, come on.
I know.
Homework is to go watch The Office.
I've never seen it.
That's my wife's favorite show. She likes trivia contests off The Office.
Yeah, I wouldn't. When I'm interviewing salespeople, I'll drop Office references, and if they get it, they're hired, dude.
That's awesome.
I'm just fired right now. Dang it. I don't know what to do.
No, S Ranker, I was thinking of when they got acquired by Sabre. Do you remember that? They all said Sabre.
Yeah.
And I was like, S Ranker. And I thought it was like something different. I was hoping I was pronouncing it.
I'm really sorry. I've never seen it. I know one character in that show, and that's Dwight.
Yeah, everybody knows.
Like, I don't know Dwight. Everybody else.
I think
Dwight is iconic.
Yeah, I think he's everyone's favorite character. His development and everything.
You have to. Yeah, Dwight's got to be.
I just feel like anytime I post a GIF, like, that's all I see is Office. It's just Dwight, and like,
it was so iconic. Like, the movie was like, the show was like, nothing had ever up to that point hadn't been that crazy, like, that liberal with what they were making fun of. It was like South Park in like an Office setting.
I love South Park.
Right?
That's my humor. I love
South Park. Hilarious.
It's hilarious. It makes fun of everything.
Yes. And that's why South Park wins, though. Because they do make fun of everything.
Everybody.
Nobody's safe.
Nobody.
Yep. Yeah.
I love it.
Dude, have you, speaking of that, we'll talk about business, but this is just, we're all friends. Kicking
it.
Have you ever seen the book? Did you watch the Book of Mormon musical?
No, but I want to.
Gosh, dude. So funny.
I've seen YouTube videos of some of the songs. So I'll go,
gosh, dude.
Oh, I was just saying, really? Like, I hadn't heard anything about it.
Like, I know we've had a conversation about being LDS. Are you LDS?
Uh-huh.
Did you go on a mission?
No.
Okay.
No mission. Did you go, not no mission?
Okay, but listen, dude. Watching the Book of Mormon musical, like, I went on a mission watching it after. I watched it before with the original cast in Chicago. And then I watched it after going on my mission, it was 10 times funnier. Because, like, the jokes are like, you get the jokes. It's hard to. Yeah. So the whole idea is. And it's actually, if you want to know master of storytelling, like Trey Parker and Max Stone are master storytellers.
Those guys.
Because the whole idea of the Book of Mormon musical is when you're 19, you go on a mission, an LDS mission, right? Mm-hmm. Now it's 18, but when they made the movie, it was 19. And the idea is, like, this happens in our culture, in LDS culture all the time. It's like, you're 19, you get called to Africa, you have no clue what you're doing, you barely know the religion, right? And now you're supposed to teach a bunch of people who are, like, seasoned, you know, like adults, right? Yeah. Like, I remember having this conversation with a kid who was going to go on a mission. And I was like, you're 19. You don't have kids. You've never budgeted a dollar in your life, right? Mommy, daddy gave you every money. And you're going to go out and you're going to talk to a hardworking blue collar dad with five kids. And you're going to tell him that he has to pay 10% tithing when he can barely put food on the table. I was like, if you think you're ready for that, you have no clue what you're doing.
This is why missionaries make the best pest control and solar cells guys in the planet.
Dude. Yeah,
dude. So that's the premise of the Book of Mormon, is you follow, like, these six missionaries who go out into the real world, and then they face these real problems. And South Park or Trey Stone and Matt Parker, they do a really good job at, like, making fun of Mormons.
It's really
because
cool
it's great.
They could do that, though. Like, that's a big deal, and it's a lot of responsibility, and I don't know how to be able to do that. That'd be hard.
It's really tough.
Yeah.
And you have to pay for it all yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be
isn't that crazy?
Yeah. My little brother just got back from Argentina and
he was
talking about it. Yeah.
That's cool.
He loved it. Nice. And he was talking about paying for it himself.
Did he come back fatter?
No, dude.
Really?
So he went out during COVID, went to Idaho, gained like 30 pounds, went to Argentina, lost it all.
Because there's no chemicals.
Yeah.
There's no hormones, nothing.
Yeah.
And isn't that wild when you talk to people like that?
Yeah.
And you're like, the food is so much different. Like, people who are lactose intolerant in the U.S. aren't lactose intolerant in Europe.
Raw, healthy. Yeah.
Did you know that raw milk is illegal to sell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
isn't that the biggest conspiracy you've ever heard?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's crazy.
That's a conspiracy.
That's a rabbit hole. A rabbit hole, dude.
But that's a conspiracy. Like, everybody's like, that's a conspiracy that everyone should believe in. There's no reason why it should be.
Raw milk. Once you look into it, it's
like the best thing for you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, raw milk is like healthier
for
you.
We bought our son raw goat milk when he turned 12 months.
Yeah.
You can buy it. There's a few places you can buy it, and it's legal to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And my son was... Okay, this is freaking crazy. So the moment we changed to raw milk is we went to visit my sister the day before he turned one. So we're in Vegas, and we get his can, like his little formula can, because he was like hyper allergic to all the stuff we gave him. And we just got used to this one, like soy-based one. And it's like, okay, he's good. He's growing. And we just got used to this. And it's like, okay, it smells kind of weird. Got in the car with my sister on the way back to the airport, and my son starts crying. He wants to, like, okay, make the bottle. My wife comes back and opens it, and my sister goes, "Do you guys have a bag of McDonald's fries back there?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" She goes, "It literally smells like McDonald's fries. Like, what are you
doing?" Dude, yeah, the formula's gnarly.
So I grabbed the can, shame, but I looked at the back of the can, and this is, the doctors gave us this and told us to do this. Vegetable oil, vegetable this, and I'm like, and I smell it, and I'm like, I can never look at McDonald's fries the same. In that moment, when we got home, I went and got raw milk, and he chunked up like within a month.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
For real.
And healthy, super good stuff. So yeah,
raw
McDonald's fries.
I have a similar story when my daughter turned one. Like,
same thing.
We started giving her just like whole milk from the store.
Yeah.
And she started like growing like breasts, like they were poking out.
Oh my
gosh. I was like, what the fuck? And I was like, it has to be the milk. So I went to raw organic organic whole milk, and they went away in like a week.
What?
I haven't had cow's milk like from the store in my house for like 7 years.
Wow.
Like, dude, I was like, there's so many hormones in it, dude.
Yeah.
If I buy cow's milk, it's like organic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, as organic as I can get without, you know, spending $1 million on it, but
true.
But dude, but yeah,
being a parent like changes the way you think.
Good God,
it really does.
Yeah, we used to YOLO everything.
Yeah,
like literally YOLO. My wife and I would YOLO everything, not even care.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're like, hey, we should probably be careful.
Yeah,
well, that's why I'm trying to like lose a little bit of weight now, because I'm like, dude, I can't keep up with my 2-year-old.
Yeah, so. Dude. Yeah, for real, man.
Yeah,
life changes. All right, S Ranker, dude.
Yeah.
I'm glad sponsors of the show. So thank you for that.
Of course.
Yeah, dude. Love it. What I really love about S-Ranker though, and I remember when Evan and I talked about it first, kind of like disrupting the marketing world. Because the marketing, digital marketing space is wild, man.
Competitive.
Yeah. Very competitive.
Yeah, there's so like, many people in it.
Like pretty high ticket as well when you get into some of like the crazy stuff, you know? Very high ticket. And so that's where the barrier of entry is to a lot of these like small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, dude, who can spend $12,000 a month on marketing? Dude, it's very hard for a lot of businesses.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Evan and I, well, you know them, Kevin and Brian with Sobo.
Sushi.
Yeah, they closed the doors and they couldn't afford any marketing. I was helping them with operations, and that was a big thing I was trying to get for them, and they just couldn't afford it. Because what small business can pay $12,000 to $17,000 a month?
And restaurants, bro.
Yeah.
The income.
Good, dude. Yeah. Well, restaurants like flow, but the margins are thin in restaurants.
Oh, you get one bad month and, you know, you're sucked into a year-long contract with some of these companies you're screwed. You're digging yourself out of a hole.
Yeah. Dude, it's wild.
Yeah.
But you guys kind of, you fought the battle on SEO, like Google My Business SEO, which I think is very underrated. A lot of people miss their Google My Business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think, so... I mean, kind of talking about that, I ran an axe throwing business for a long time and I didn't know I was building SEO, but people think of SEO as like keywords, right?
Yeah.
That people look up. There's so much more to it. So like
it's part of it, but
yeah,
a lot more.
But Google looks at the reviews and what's said in the reviews. So with the Axthorn business, I was responding to all the reviews and I was putting keywords in it, unintentionally building my SEO. And so now that we can do that intentionally and help people do, you know, help these small businesses.
So like, yeah, walk me through the review process, how it helps SEO.
Oh yeah. So, okay. So let's, I'll just use this Axthorn business. So you come in, you bring a party of 12 people and you say, hey, Richard and his team did awesome. Food was good. The activities were fun. Very lively place, right? There's not really any key terms in there except axe throwing, maybe food or whatever.
Yeah.
If I respond like, hey, Dalton, thank you so much for coming in and trying out our pepperoni and a Dewey sausage pizza. That's one keyword right there. Next time, try the football bowling and the Zeppi's Italian ice. So these words that people might Google to find a product, Google links it back to your business.
To the profile review.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And dude, that's where they're looking.
Yeah. So there's not much you can do. I mean, there's some, I guess you could kind of control. Maybe you can tell people like what to say, you know, it's in the review, but you do it in the replies.
So. Yeah. It's better to encourage them to
leave a review
first of all. Yeah. And our system is designed where if they're going to leave a negative review, they're just first of all, they're going to email you first so you can resolve it as a business owner.
Yep.
Versus like straight up slamming your business.
Yeah.
And if they really want to leave a bad review, they're going to have to go around to get there. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, but hey, if there's a problem, let's get it fixed.
Yeah, I'd rather be the first one to know than get
it. Yeah, of course.
Because I've also heard, tell me if this is a myth, it's extremely hard to get reviews off of Google.
It is.
It is.
Even if they're like totally lies and you can prove it, like Google's like,
they'll do it, but it is hard.
But it's
difficult. Yeah. It's a process. So, I mean, at the Axthorn place, I had one. And one of my employees, he was in high school, he got all of his friends to report that review. It took him like 600 reviews of that review to get it taken off, though.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. That's all they did for like a week.
They just like reported the review.
Yeah.
Like, dude, this isn't real. Like, you didn't come to the store, right? Like, we don't.
Yeah.
Wow, dude, that's crazy.
That's some guerrilla marketing right there.
It was awesome.
Yeah, dude. I loved it. But that's what you have to do at that point, right? But yeah, reviews are wild, man. It's so hard to get people to leave a review.
It is. Yeah, people forget. And sometimes, like, I'll just speak for myself, but it's hard to, like, ask someone to give you a review. It's like, hey, will you just leave me a review? Like, so sometimes, like, the automation and having somebody, like, third-party create something for you and remind them is so much better to just get it over with. So that way you don't have to deal with and awkwardly chase that one down. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I can't tell you how many people I've asked. And, like, let's say 50 people, I've gotten one or two. Because I personally like, hey, will you just do this? I feel weird. I feel weird.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Yeah, it definitely is weird.
Yeah. Well, and people don't realize how important reviews are for businesses. It's a free service that you can do to really give feedback for the business, but also to just show that you support them.
Yeah.
So it takes 5 minutes.
Yeah, you see that that meme would go across social media all the time. It's like free ways to support your friend, like leave a review. It's
not like 50 times now.
I know. It's wild, man. And by the way, I've seen that so many times, and I think we've seen that so many times because we're entering into an economy where, like, dude, we...
Word of mouth.
Yeah, we have to do word of mouth, and we can't spend all this money on marketing. And it doesn't even work. Like, think about it. Even if you had 10 grand to spend on marketing, you're going to get something. You're going to get some traction.
Of course.
But, dude, like, you're competing with Nike, who can spend in a day what I make in a year on marketing. Even if you're not competing, even if you're a restaurant, Nike is still, like... I mean, like, people who eat look at Nike. And who do you think Facebook's going to favor
in that algorithm? Who has the most money?
Yeah.
Yeah. It literally is a racket, dude.
Yeah. I think 3 or 4 weeks ago, we signed up a chiropractor. And this chiropractor, which I just talked to, they're doing great. We're doing awesome for their portfolio. And she sent me a referral for an attorney. And this attorney, I think he's just been in business for maybe a year or two. Like, He's just got out of law school. He's just trying to build his practice. And out of curiosity, I pulled up his practice and I found out what he does. And I pulled up his keyword and some of the biggest names are advertising. And I'm like, these guys have 30, 50 grand a month to throw into Google ads. And this, here's the thing. We're not here to destroy people who are charging. Price is relative to anybody.
Yeah.
5,000 a month could be nothing for somebody.
Yeah.
$500.
Yeah. And by the way, I think it should be mentioned that if you have 50, you should, you know what I mean? Like, it, you should spend it on marketing. Like, it
just, absolutely.
Yeah. If you got it, spend it for sure. I get what you're saying. Yeah.
So we saw this. So this attorney is already like like, kind of like, I don't know what to do. Like, how do I compete? I just got started. Like, I'm always going to lose. There's billboards all over the place with these guys, big names. There's big names all over the advertising. I can't go anywhere without big names. So how the heck do I compete? Mm-hmm. And so, like, and that's a good example of, like, why we're doing what we're doing. It's because truly over time, if you look at Google and you search best tattoo artist near me, okay, best tattoo artist near me, what's going to pop up is going to pop up a lot of tattoo artists in your area. Mm-hmm. Google's going to push those people. The keywords are going to pop up relevant to what you're searching. But what's always going to pop up top is people who are paying to be first. But what's happened over the last few years, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but do you remember how, like, when you would search something, even just like 3 or 4 years ago, and the first thing that would pop up is like the top 10 websites.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. the reviews were always kind of like kicked off to the corner. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nobody paid attention to the reviews. Nobody really cared. And everybody in the world who paid money for advertising, I just want to be in the top 10. And I know if I'm the first page of Google, I'm in the top 10, I'm supposed to going to win. And Google silently kind of changed that. Mm-hmm. And if you go to Google now, the first thing that they show you is Felix. Mm-hmm. Emotion.
Yeah.
Experience. Then they show you the top 5-6 pages.
Right.
So mm-hmm. that's what Google's doing is, and if you think about it, look at YouTube, look at Facebook, look at TikTok, Reels, things that are quick, emotion, fast.
Yeah.
And so these big giants, I'm not saying we're like, we know all this. We're just observing what these giants are doing. Mm-hmm. And they're going off of feelings. And ever since COVID, ever since everything shut down, if you notice, people are at home a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
They're researching a lot more. They want to see, I want to see what you think about that place. Mm-hmm. I can care less about the guy that's advertising.
Yeah.
I want to know what my local community is saying.
Yep.
So that's what we're doing. We're focusing on that. We just want to focus on the businesses that want to attract the people that want to support you locally and that want to be visible to mm-hmm. everybody nearby. And so that's pretty much our niche.
Yeah, dude. Well, I think it's crazy because a lot of people, like I mentioned before, like they don't really know what they should be doing in marketing. Like, where do you even start? Mm-hmm. And I think what's cool about S-Ranker as well is that that's a great place to start. Like just getting your Google My Business and getting reviews through the door. Like, I mean, you really can't lose. I mean, it's a great way to get it done.
Yeah.
Very quickly. Right.
And we do recommend to actually use other sources of advertising. It's just, I think that the way that, and I know we're biased here, but the way that a business should start, especially if you're a brick and mortar business. And just so everybody knows, we're, with our company, we focus on local SEO, so local presence, mm-hmm. local businesses that won't have a local. So if you have like a national company, an e-com business, like we're not really for you, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. We're more focusing on the local.
Yeah, businesses. Your backyard.
Yeah, your backyard and finding
the community right around you.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Well, yeah, I mean that's number one. When I was at dealerships. When I worked in dealerships, like car dealerships, that was always the name of the game. It's like, win in your backyard. Like nobody should be leaving. Like when I worked in Bountiful, like nobody should be leaving Bountiful to get a Honda.
Yeah.
Like if they want a Honda in Bountiful, like we need to do whatever we can to take that deal.
Of course.
A lot of people don't understand like winning in your backyard is number one.
Yeah, that's what we're going for.
Well, I think it really gives a new business legs because, you know, you might not know everyone who's leaving the reviews, but you trust them. Humans are social creatures and we trust each other. Yeah. You know, we trust a random stranger saying, hey, this place was awesome. Get this product because I liked it and it was quality. And we trust it. That.
Yeah. Dude, so you liked it? Okay.
Yeah.
He says it's good. So,
right. Yeah. I'm
going to go. Must be good.
Yeah. And then if you can find out that it's local to like car dealerships, if you can find out that the people in Bountiful are saying, buy this car here, they took care of me, it really gives strong legs to the company.
Yeah. And reviews are just like a beast of their own too, mm-hmm. because, I was going to say Amazon got in trouble a long time ago, a little bit ago, for all the fake reviews, like all the bot reviews. Remember that?
Oh, no.
You remember that?
Yeah. I don't like remember that, but it's, I've heard of a lot of companies doing that.
Yeah, botting. Bots. Yeah, dude. Yeah. And that, like, Amazon just shut them down. Like, so, yeah, you also
got I remember this.
Yeah, dude. Like, if Amazon got a whiff that there was bot reviews, like, that's why it says on Amazon now, customer verified, like, verified purchase.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because because they're like, you didn't even buy it, dude. Like, you can't, you know what I mean?
It's just like some dude in Malaysia that's just like,
yeah,
has dude, like 15,000 accounts.
Bro, they can do so much crazy stuff with, like, the bots and AI now, dude.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they have they do that for shoes. They're like, the guys will, Enrique, they know, dude. They do. They're like, well, if a shoe goes on sale, they've got like 15 bots who just go bid on it.
Really?
Oh, dude, that's awful, like fast, man. It's crazy, bro.
Yeah. Just
launch that price out there and make us all think that it's super exciting.
Yeah. Speaking of that data, actually, so that's actually something that I brought up to attention to one of our clients is that with local SEO, when you're running pay-per-click or like Facebook and you're spending all this money, you don't really know that lead that comes in. Like, imagine you're a boxing gym, right?
Yeah.
And like somebody in Texas like requests information. Like, is that really your best client? Like, do they live in Utah? Or if you have someone in Maryland, like clicking on your website and looking at your stuff, like why is someone in Maryland looking at a boxing gym in Utah unless they're planning to move there? But if it's happening more and more and more, or how do you attract that? And then what happens all the time, and I hear this conversation with, and we hear this all the time with clients, like, hey, you know what? I'm running Facebook ads, but like, I just tell my team like, hey, I don't know why it's happening. I'm getting these type of leads. And they say, no worries, we'll adjust it. That's another $5,000 this month. Then the next one.
Yeah, next one. Dude, it's just a tweaking, constant
adjustment. And it's just like,
it is all tweaking.
It's so frustrating for the clients. Yeah. And so like, that's hard.
Well, and here's why I think it's hard. I have a really good friend of mine who's a marketer. I actually work for a digital marketing agency. Here's the really hard part that I've tried to crack is like setting expectations with marketing, because a lot of people just think that if, I mean, to no fault of their own, I think salespeople in the marketing world have just done a poor job of setting it up, so bad. Right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like, what should you expect? Like, what are the real things, the real results, right? True. And by the way, it also kind of sucks because a lot, like the company that I work for goes beyond, like after the lead comes in, like we do a lot of nurturing.
Oh, cool.
Okay. Okay.
Which is different, right? Because like,
that's good.
And other marketers just like, here's the lead, dude.
Yeah.
If it works, good luck. If it doesn't. Yeah. Sorry, dude. We got you the lead. We did our part.
We said you're gonna get 20 leads. You got 20.
Yeah. And if you can't, but like,
we did our job.
So this is why I like sales. This is why I like sales training with small businesses, because like, dude, if you get 100 leads and you close zero, like, the marketing company is not going to, the marketing company is going to gaslight you. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, gaslight's a buzzword, but they're going to be like, dude, we got you the leads. I didn't know that you couldn't close. Right.
Honestly, like, and there is truth to that too, though. So you can have like the best marketing agency in the planet and they are so good at generating leads. So they could even pinpoint locally if you wanted to.
Right, right.
Dude. But if your website sucks and you're not going to
convert your products too bad, or
you can't fulfill.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just,
like, I think marketing There's companies should things. Be, yeah, should be more picky with who they
accept.
Yeah, just because like, if you're, I don't know, dude, you're just not doing them any justice. If they, you know, if they can't close a deal, or if you got, or like, yeah, I'll get you 100 leads, but you can't fulfill all 100. That's worse.
That's than hard.
Not getting any leads.
Yeah.
That's
where those bad reviews come from and tank your business.
Yeah.
But you know, going back to what you were asking about, like the realistic expectations, marketing takes a little bit. There's that, no instant marketing that works. We like to dip our toes and see what other people think first.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
like SEO is one of those. It takes a minute.
It takes
social
time.
Media marketing takes a little bit. You
have even to your organic work. Content, like that's what a lot of people. Yeah. I mean, I work with podcasts, right?
You do.
Yeah. And it's like, dude, I tell people like, look, we'll do this, and I'm month to month. But if you don't think you can do this for a year, then we probably shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
Because
we're gonna hit 2 months, and you're gonna be like, this is all BS.
Yeah.
Be like, dude, we've only been doing it for two. What are you doing? Like, we literally just started.
Bro. Just rolling like, that
Google doesn't even know you exist yet.
Right, dude. Yeah. And so it is tough. People are looking for those quick, those quick deals, those quick sales, and. Yeah, marketing is an investment. It's not
It totally is.
You know
100%.
What I mean?
There's other things you could be doing too. Like, I feel like we, your budget is really important. That's actually one of the questions that we ask is like we, during our interview, we fully vet clients, by the way, when we talk to someone, we ask like, what, like 50 questions before we even mention what we do.
Oh yeah. And they're pretty in depth.
Yeah.
Like, so like Evan was saying, we really vet them. We want to know their budgets, how much they can spend. And if you know, we can't work with them, we can't.
We've told people, no, like, sorry. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. What do you tell people? Like, cause I know what I tell people about marketing in a small business, but I'm curious like how that conversation goes with you guys. If there is a, you know, someone who can't afford it yet.
Yeah. That's what it is.
What do they do?
We've had several clients that can't afford it and we're still relatively low, at least for the most part from what we've seen in other agencies. But, the ones that we deal with, that like, I just can't afford it right now. We say, you know what? Like, based on everything that you've told us, you're right. We go back to what they said. So we ask all these questions.
Yeah.
And then we remind them where they're at in their business right now. And we say, you know what? This is not a good fit for you guys right now because you said this.
Yeah.
Because you said that. But here are some other solutions for you that we can help you. Here are a couple of things. Like we have a couple of things that we can do. We don't try not to do this, but that we can break apart, like, we can cross list them on multiple platforms and we can charge lower for just that. We try not to do it because it's not really that great of a service without our full product.
Yeah, right. That's what everybody wants.
Yeah. But it's something to give them some kind of exposure. And we just say, look,
I just tell people, you just got to start posting and selling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's what I think. Like, marketing doesn't really help if you can't, like, if you haven't closed your first 20 deals.
Or raise your prices, too.
Oh, yeah.
Raise your price. Like, you're still charging the same price as 2018. Have you not seen what's happening?
Yeah.
Like, give yourself a 30% raise now.
Yeah.
Come back in 6 months.
Or sometimes I tell people to lower their price. Like, dude, you're not getting any sales.
Or lower. Yeah. Yeah. There's multiple things.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, that's like the consultant part where it's like, it's so hard. And bro, I like that for restaurants because Yelp is a biatch.
Yeah, it
is. Dude, holy crap. Yelp sucks.
Bro. It's equivalent to the BBB, but it's cuter.
Dude, I don't know. BBB sucks too.
The Better Business Bureau. People think that's a real government agency.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not.
I'm going to report you to the Better Business Bureau. And we're like,
really? So report me to Yelp too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, we would always try to resolve it.
Of course.
But I would, at the end, I'd be like, dude, you know that that's not. That's South Park, dude. Do you remember? We're going to burn down the Federal Express.
Oh, my
like,
God.
FedEx. He's like, you know that's not a government agency, right?
But it says federal
Express.
Yeah. Everyone thinks that it is.
It's so funny. Yeah. BBB. I don't know. I don't like BBB either. I'm like,
I've never used it.
I've never used it. I actually didn't even know what it was until somebody threatened to like, I'm gonna go to BBB. And I'm like,
what?
I go, yeah, well, okay. Have fun.
What like, is that?
I'm gonna go see my mom who works at Smith's. I don't know. Or is that what we're doing? Or
mom, I'm on BBB.
Yeah. Dude, it's what? But Yelp is not good. I've just heard so many bad things about Yelp, dude.
Really?
Just how it doesn't help. It's kind of like Google. It's like whoever can give you up the most money and keep giving them the most money.
Yeah,
and they do that a lot. We do cross platform on Yelp for like.
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah, I'm saying you got to be there. It's like it's like a double edged sword. Like you got to be there,
but yeah,
it's very evil.
Yeah,
not paid or anything like that, but we still get it on there because it's
something.
Yeah, if someone wants to book a dining with you or somebody wants to book a session with you,
you
can do it through Yelp and it's helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, we were talking about SEO and I was at the consumer summit that Brandless put on. They said a crazy stat and I have no reason to think that they were lying, but I haven't verified it.
Sure.
But they were saying like TikTok is like a big search engine now, especially for like Gen Z or what is that? Who's the young generation? Gen Z.
So, I mean,
they basically TikTok it. Like it's not good. Like we Google it, they TikTok it.
Yeah. Well, and it's a generational thing. You can even see like quality difference. So we do the social media marketing as well, content creation.
Yeah.
And, you know, we grew up with Facebook, right?
Yeah.
And you have the nice polished Facebook ads because that's what we're used to. That's what we like. Where Gen Z, they want the raw, I'm holding my phone, it's shaky, and someone's in the bathroom doing something dumb, and it sells.
It's raw, dude.
So another thing that we learned at that summit was, people like consumers are choosing to do business with businesses and companies who they share values with.
Yeah.
So if your company is not like also like sharing their value, like your values and things like that. It's also kind of wild, right? But because like there are some companies that we just do, right? Like we know Apple is terrible, we're gonna buy the iPhone. It doesn't matter. Yep. We know Nike's got sweatshops. We're buying Nikes. It doesn't matter. But like, if there's a small business, so if like everybody else is not fair game, right? You gotta like really, you know, be on TikTok and show like what you value and stuff. Yeah,
it's absolutely. Wild,
yeah. But yeah, Walmart's a good one too. Yeah, Walmart, Costco. These Walmart, people are crazy, bro.
Yeah.
Dude, I know people who work at Costco. I know people who've worked at Costco for like 12 years and they make like $13 an hour.
Yeah.
They won't leave though.
And they get treated
Dude, yeah, Costco. Oh my gosh. That's real retail. And no thank you, bro.
Really?
I worked in retail, like in cars and like other stuff like that. But like that's real retail, dude, where like you're just dealing with... Yeah, no, thank you.
Costco always looks cool. That's where I get my meat.
Dude, I like Costco. I'm not saying that. And I know there's a lot of people
looks like it's this amazing Disneyland looking place. And I'm like, oh, that should apply here. It looks fun.
Like, dude, it's gnarly, bro. It's very corporate.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
I can't. Well, but like, some people are like, oh, I don't like the corporate world. And they worked at like a small business or something like that. You know, they worked at like a tech company, like corporate. Like, no, dude.
This is
corporate. Like when you can and can't show up, they actually deny vacations. And if you like, you know, if you, quit, like, or like, no, you have to be here. Nope. You punched in a minute late. Like we prorate our hours, right? You're like, your hourly rate is prorated. So we'll dock. You know what I mean? It's like,
that's
real corporate.
And I can feel like my anxiety going up.
Yeah. Dude.
Like I feel it right now.
Like you got sick days, paid days. You know what I mean? Like sick days, paid off, leave, like that. That's real, bro. Personal days. Yeah. Like I'm gonna use a personal day today. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude?
What
personal
does that day? Mean?
Yeah.
Personal, look, dog. If I don't want to show up, I'm not coming.
That's all it is. Yeah.
That's why I like sales, though.
Yeah.
It's because like it's very much like
you control your income.
Yeah. And I can do it. Yeah. But yeah. You know what I mean? We used to have the top dog thing. Which was basically like if you had a rolling average of whatever, you could do your schedule was whatever you wanted it to be. And but then if you dip below that average, you had to whatever. But no, that's cool. Though, cool.
I bet they still control.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's still, yeah, they probably just show up maybe 30 minutes later. But like, you know, if you're not calling at 8 in the morning, you're missing
the best lead. The hard part. That is the catch 22, right? Yeah, like, you're like, the top dog, but you
have a business,
right? Well, I heard one of my mentors said like it's easy to get to number one. It's hard to stay at number one. And I was like. Shit.
That's true.
Damn it. It's like a hamster wheel. Like number one is a hamster wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, really. Well, but hey, it's
like people get hungry to get up to number one and then you hit it and you know,
but then what's
driving you to the next one?
Well, no, but like that's the thing is like you get to number one and now like you're the target. You're the guy.
Yeah.
Like I'm coming for you.
Yeah.
Right. Like everybody now you got it on your back. Like they're coming for you.
I've been number one a few times in different sales jobs and I'll never forget like that. Like you're so excited to get there. Like, oh my gosh, I'm at 180% quota right now. Mm-hmm. And you get to the top. And then it's like, once you're there, like some of like the people that are like, how did he get there?
Like, yeah, there's a lot of animosity.
What did you do?
There's a lot of animosity. There's like, a lot of lucky.
I'm lucky again.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's easy to get to number one. It's harder to
stay.
Yeah.
But no, dude, I'm a good salesperson, but I've been number one, but I don't like to be number one. I like to
two, three.
I don't like, well, because then you're like, your managers are also looking at you.
Yeah. Oh, they're expecting you. Like, yeah, oh, you're my trophy.
Yeah, dude.
Come on.
Yeah. Like you almost don't pay attention to the other guys.
You got your training like, for everybody now.
Yeah. Like you get, dude, it is wild, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. A lot of salespeople are going to, but that's also why I don't like the toxic sales culture of like, get to number one, like I made blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, bro, I was consistent. Like that's good. That's also what is more important.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I would rather have a consistent guy who, you know, even if they were doing like 80-90% of quota, but I knew I could get 80, that every 90? Month.
Yeah.
I knew every month I could get that. Like I would get 100, like I guess maybe not 80 to 90, but like 90 to 100. Like I knew that guy was going to do that every month versus the guy who was like 180, 50, 220. It's like you can't count on that guy. Bro, I can't.
Yeah, what's going on?
You can't manage that guy.
That's hard.
It's so up and down.
Yeah. Have you guys been on Instagram on the the Sales Humor account.
I don't have. Oh, I mean, I know who Sales Humor is. Like, is that the corporate bro?
I don't know. It's
it's Sales Humor. I don't have Instagram, but
it's hilarious, dude. I see it all the time. Like, because I love sales too. I'm like a salesman, but I like looking at the memes.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
And making fun of like the manager or something. Yeah, dude, that one. You got it. Sales Humor is hilarious, dude.
Well, it's all true. It's like
it's all true.
We're all running this rat race, dude. It's crazy.
I love it though.
Yeah, dude. I don't know. Have you ever? Oh, never mind. I forgot what I was going to say. ADHD, bro. Damn.
Same.
For real, though.
No, for real. Same. Don't worry.
For real. You're good. Isn't that weird? I'm always on the fence about ADHD, too. Whether how much it affects you, anyway.
I don't know, dude. I just feel
it. Remember when we talked about ADHD intuition that one time?
No.
There was a crazy... Yeah, I remember that. Oh, we were looking at... It was when I was a Dirty Dough, but it's crazy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, it was fun. Yeah. Dude, ADHD people have the worst memory.
I have the worst memory. Oh my gosh. Like,
hey, you guys also do silicone stomachs.
Oh, yeah.
We do.
Yeah. Networking event or networking group.
Yeah. This one's fun. This is really fun. I love it.
It's awesome. And, you know, I like it. We don't make anything from it. We're just gathering people
together. Zero.
Yeah.
To fun. Help local businesses, local restaurants that are struggling.
Yeah.
So. Oh, yeah, bringing people in.
Uh-huh.
That's a good way to do it.
Well, and again, like one of the rules is if you come, you take a picture of your food and you write a review on the
foodie group.
But you're also supporting
a business.
Yeah, like, so literally, you know, between 20 and 40 people show up and you get 40 business reviews. And
that's cool, man.
Spread the word. And most of the people are, I would say, higher net worth professionals, and most of them are business owners.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
In some way, they own either they're attorneys or they own a sales company and they come and support it. It's just kind of cool. Silicone stomachs, if anybody, I guess it's a plug. We don't make anything from this. right. But we're on Facebook. We do have a LinkedIn account, but I feel like LinkedIn's kind of weird.
They changed the algorithm and they went to like an Instagram thing where like now only my mother sees my LinkedIn, but like nobody and Enrique, my mom and Enrique see my,
you know what I mean? Seen one of your posts in forever.
Yeah. Dude. And I post every day.
Really? I can't remember the last time I saw, I'm on there every day.
Dude. Yeah. Isn't it wild? And like LinkedIn's now it's ground zero for spam. Right.
I get so much spam every day.
Yeah, on LinkedIn. Dude, like, I don't even get that on Facebook.
Yeah, I feel sad accepting. Like, I used to, like, I accept most everybody that sends me an invite on LinkedIn. But I've noticed in the last month, it's like everybody on LinkedIn who wants to sell, all their corporations turn on some kind of software. And so I just pull up today, I have 12.
Yeah.
3 to 4 5-day drips on me. That's the same message. In fact, there was one girl and another girl from the same company that sent me the same message. And it kind of like made me sad.
Just get your shit together. That's what I was like, bro, come on. Like, I use LinkedIn automation, but only for connection requests. Like, I don't anything past. I don't do messages.
That's fine.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying.
Totally like, fine.
Yeah. I just,
but the messaging.
But dude, the messaging is stupid. Here's the problem too. And I it's actually funny because there's an overarching theme in our conversation that kind of matches what we should bring up culturally right now in our society. And that is like quick, easy wins. Like, I don't want to be held accountable for, you know, like I want somebody else to be responsible for this. So if it goes bad, I can blame somebody else. So like, why, like, I'm okay with cold emailing. Right. But like, dude, don't send the same email to 5 people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Personalize it.
Like, you're going to send less, but you're going to get more.
Yeah.
Because you're going to know, you're going to go after the target. We just have like this spray and pray. Like, I need a quick
shotgun.
Win. Shotgun. Yeah. Yeah, dude. It's like, we got away from like actually what I, in my opinion, is like empathetic selling. Like,
Yeah,
you got away from
that. That's like your thing.
Yeah, which is like, dude, you send if you only send 5 cold emails a day, that's fine, dude. But those 5 cold emails are highly personalized, very targeted, like very warmed up. Sure, you can send 1,000 cold emails, but
I think it should be that way. If so, I had the best cold call the other day. It was the best. Like, I gave the dude, I can't remember his company, but I actually told him I was very impressed and I was okay with him calling me back. He sent me a cold email. Probably was automated. I don't know. But it was like a very like two sentences. And it was just like, hey, so-and-so, I noticed that you might have a couple companies. I think it's cool that you're doing over here. I just looked you up. Anyways, this is what we do. I'm going to call you in a couple days. And that was it.
Yeah.
Like, I looked at it and I just deleted it. Like, I didn't care.
Yeah.
Calls me out of on my cell phone. I don't know how he got my cell phone, but he called my cell phone.
I know how he got your cell phone. Oh.
Yeah. He got my cell phone and called me. And I was like, and I never answer. I know. Like, I never do. And my voicemail literally says, if I don't answer, send me an email because I will not call you back.
Yeah.
And so I picked up and I was like, I thought it was one of my clients. I was like, it's like, hello, hey, this is Evan. He goes, hey, this is so-and-so. I saw that you're doing this on your last post and I thought that was really cool, man. How are things going for you? And I was like, oh, yeah. And then we started talking for a minute. I'm like, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
I was like, who's this? He goes, oh, I'm so-and-so. I remember I sent you that email a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And I was great, like, dude. You got me talking. And he goes, yeah, so like, I just saw that you are running this like marketing agency and like, you know, like I've been impressed with like what you guys have been doing. And so like, if we can help you in any way, this is what our service is and like, where are you guys at right now? And
yeah.
And I was just like, hard pause. I said that. I was like, hard pause. I said, I just want you to know that. I kind of like put him on his seat. I was like, did you cold call me? He goes, kind of. I was like, well, that was the best cold call I've ever received. He goes,
yeah.
Thanks. I was trying something new and I just wanted to try something different. And like, I'm going to tell my boss that
it worked.
And I was I'm okay with it. And it didn't work out for what we're doing right now.
But I said,
it might actually work out in a couple months. So I said, can you put me on your drip? I said that specifically. Can you put me on your drip for like a couple months from now? And let's see where we're at as a company. And he goes, yeah, sure. And like that was huge.
Yeah.
That was much better than like the six like automated messages that I got from everybody else. And that literally everybody cares about relationships and personal touch. And
oh, yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well, that's how we met. I cold called Evan.
You did.
Yeah.
You actually did.
I see you popped up on Facebook and messaged him and called and invited him to an event. And
yeah, that's true.
Hanging out pretty much.
Yeah, so cold calling works. This is what people don't understand.
Yep.
You just have to do it right. You can't be a dumbass on the phone. Like, for real, though.
Yeah.
Like, if you're calling me, I think I have two really favorite cold calling lines. One of them is like that, though. Like, just like calling him up like a friend. Hey, what's up, Evan? I was just calling you your last LinkedIn post, dude. That was sick. You're like,
thanks, man.
You're like, oh, shit. Yeah. My other one that I really like is like, hey, I also like the accusation audit opening for a cold call, which is like, hey, Evan, this is a cold call, dude. You're probably going to hate my freaking guts. I'm a sales guy, but feel free to hang up or if you give me 10 seconds of your time, I'll tell you why I'm calling.
I like
that. I like that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I did door-to-door sales and the door slammed in your face and you go to the next one or you get a talk. So,
but that's the thing. But here's why cold calling is such a big thing is because it's not about... People view cold calling or cold emails, I got to get the sale.
Yeah. But
here's the problem when you think like that, you lose the momentum and you think, this is also why I hate when salespeople go like, oh, figure out their pain points. Like that is such bullshit.
That's manipulative.
Well, yeah. It's like, dude, that means that you've reduced this conversation down to if I can solve it, obviously they'll buy. And that is not how humans work at all. Yeah. Right.
There's a difference between pain and finding a problem.
Yeah. Or even just like, dude, I don't care. Sometimes it's super painful, but I just don't want to, I don't care. Like I'd rather like the status quo is better than the alternative, right? Like
true.
I was just talking about this on another podcast, but yeah, dude, it's crazy. So like cold calling isn't to sell. It's to like give you enough time because everybody said, like your business owners say this to you probably. You've heard this from a business owner that's like, dude, if I can just get him in the door, I got this, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Like if I can get him on the phone, I can sell the deal. But Evan, I just can't get, right? Like that's what everybody says.
Yeah.
So that's what your cold call should be.
Yeah.
Give me 5 seconds. That's all I need, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I tell
people. Your message is good enough.
Yeah.
It's actually really good. That's really good sales.
So there you go, dude. There you go.
That's awesome.
I think Dalton, like, I know, like, I'm kind of biased here because, like,
we're
friends and everything, but I genuinely think you're, like, a really good salesman.
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, and it's not even, like, everybody, and I appreciate that, but it's also just, like, dude, I just treat people like people. Like, I used to sell some of some of the hardest stuff to sell, like, in a dealership. Like, buying a car from a salesman is already not fun. But then what's worse than that? is going to the finance guy.
Yeah. Oh, that's the part.
Yeah. You're like, dude, I hate that guy. I was that guy. And I actually ended up doing very well because I would just, that's how I actually pitched it. I was like, guy, I was like, Evan, dude, you hate this. I want to go home. You want to go home. I have to.
It's 9:30.
You're like, dude,
I want to go home.
That, I would tell people that though. I'd be like, look, I know you don't want to be here. I'm the last guy you want to talk to. Every
you
watch Dave Ramsey and everything that I'm about to tell you, he said not to buy. I totally get it. I have to go through it for compliance. And I'll tell you, it'll be 30 seconds max. If you don't want it, cool. I'll move on. Fair enough. And they'd be like, all right, fine. So I got 30 seconds to pitch.
Nice.
Right? Because the hardest part is you don't get it. They cut you off before you even get a shot.
Yeah, true.
All I need is 30 seconds. And if you don't like it, I'll quit. And then I'd be like, okay. And I sold more because they're, oh, I didn't know you offered that. Like, I think the warranty is bullshit, but like, you're telling me that you'll pay for my tires and those if they buy.
Dalton.
Yeah.
You're like, dude.
Dude, go open up a dealership.
Yeah, dude. No way.
That'd be hard.
Stupid. You should actually, but you should go to market for dealerships. They're always looking for them.
Oh, right. Yeah.
100%. And dude, SEO, Google SEO for dealerships
is
insanity.
Oh, yeah. And they
got the...
They do. The average, like the small dealerships on averages are doing 1 to 2 million a year.
Yeah.
The small ones.
Small. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the ones that you see like with 15 cars and the, like that's.
And yeah. And dude, and they just show up whenever.
Yeah.
I'll meet you at the dealership in an hour. Like they're not even there.
True.
They don't even go.
You walk in like, wait, what?
You like go to the lot and you're like,
wait. Shoot, do we even have that car?
Like it's closed. What the fuck?
Yeah.
True. Like, holy shit. And then you call and you're like, oh yeah, I'm at my daughter's birthday. You want to see the car? I'll come in like in an hour. Yeah, dude. The dealership model is just not going away. I mean, much as everybody hates it and there's a lot of improvements that have been made, it's just you're never going to. You want to know how I know that? Because Carvana went bankrupt.
Yeah.
That was Carvana's model.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Car vending machine. We'll deliver it to your house. If you don't want it in 3 days, give it back.
Yeah.
Never talk to a salesperson. There you go, right?
Yeah, that's
out of
true.
Business. Out of business. It doesn't work.
You
can't do it.
Went full GameStop.
Yeah, I think people like the human interaction. As much as we hate someone selling us stuff, we like that interaction.
But you get the good one, right? You get that one good one and you're like, all right, cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you can tell, man. Like, you can tell you show up to a dealership, you're like, yeah, that guy just got out of prison a week ago. And that guy has like 4 kids. And I know that he's... Yeah, in my best interest, and I know he's gonna make a commission. He's happy with it.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's the guy that you want to deal with, dude. I got a funny story for you.
That's wild.
So we're looking at we're trying to get a Hyundai Palisade right now. We've had we put a down payment on it, and
You ordered it.
We ordered it. Yeah. Okay, so we're gonna get it. Who knows? Sometime this year, next 3 years. But
oh no, for real though.
For real,
cars are hard to get. Dude.
It's hard to get. It's okay. We're not like in a rush. But it was kind of like it made me kind of sad because my wife tells me that I have the world's biggest resting bitch face in the planet. Like, I didn't know this. Like, I remember going to like anywhere shopping, and people just would avoid me. Mm. And I always wonder, I'm like, what is wrong? Is it like my skin? Is it like my hair? My face? Like, is there why people avoid me? And Jamie, my wife, she's like, it's your freaking face, dude.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it's not. So this one time I went to Vernal to this party. Family party, and there's a lady taking pictures around, and the goal was to take candid photos of everybody, and so there was one photo of me candid, and I was like Ice Cube, like what's up, mother? And my wife's like, were you angry? And I was like, no, I was actually having a really jolly time. Like, I was having a great time. Like, I just had some food. And she's like, this is your face.
Yeah, that's what you look
and
like.
And I'm just like, that's just my face. And I can't help it. I'm pretty happy. And so we went to the Hyundai dealership. And I feel so bad. This dude, BYU kid, basketball BYU kid.
Yeah.
He was like 6'9". But like, he saw me and my wife. And he was like shaking as soon as he saw me. I'm like, oh, he's a new salesman. I'm going to be I'm not rude. I'm just like, I'm going to help. I want to work with you because I will help you get this sale. I'm going to give you money. You're going to get money before. And I had that in my mind.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to win.
Right.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
He didn't know that, but I was like, you're going to get a sale. I promise.
Yeah.
And so this kid just sits next to me and he's like, hey, let's go for a ride. And he's just so intimidated. My wife just keeps looking at me. She's like, fix your face.
Smile,
fix I was like, face. Hey, what's up? So what, you go to school? Yeah. I just try to be nice. And so he's just so like scared of me. And I'm just like, this poor freaking kid. And I'm like, okay.
Dude, well, yeah, salesmen get, car salesmen especially, but salesmen just get beat up all
they
day.
They get beat up all day. And I know that. I felt terrible. Yeah. My wife didn't make it. I hope she hears this because she's probably going to laugh.
Right.
She did not make it easier when this happened. So when we got, she loved the Palisader.
Yeah.
We got back to the dealership and we get there and now it's time to talk about money.
Yeah.
And I know finance. And so my wife goes, right in front of the kid and in front of the finance guy, she goes, I don't want to be here. I'm going to go sit in the car for this. And she walked away.
Dude, if I was the sales guy, I'd be like, hey, dude, time out real quick. I got to go to the bathroom.
That's what happened. I felt horrible, dude. I felt horrible. And I looked at her. I was like, what is that supposed to mean?
Yeah.
Like, nothing's going to happen. Like, I'm just going to have a financial conversation with these guys.
Yeah.
And so as soon as that happened, I was just like, oh, my gosh. I feel so bad for this poor BYU kid right now. And they said, we're going to pull your credit. What's the name? What do you do? And I had Alta Commercial Capital. Yeah. So I'm like, I own a finance company. And they looked at each other and like, okay. They gave me the best terms before I even said anything.
Right, right.
They just handed me like, here you go. This is it. Do we need to do something better? And I looked at them and I was like, in my mind, I was like, dang, that was better than I thought. I was like, no, we're good.
Yeah.
Here's your down payment.
Yeah.
And they were like,
isn't that crazy?
I didn't do anything. I just had a face. And my wife was like, I'm out of here. And they thought that I was going to like
just beat the shit out of
them. Yes. And because of my,
beat him up.
My ice cube face.
But man. I had to do that when I first learned how to sell. Like, yeah, dude, I was like, you know, because I'm a bigger guy, bald, big tattoo. And I'm just like, you know, you got to like be aware of how you approach people.
Yeah,
like you know what I mean. You're just like lumbering over,
right,
dude.
Back.
Like,
just what's up, geez, man?
Yeah, like with a RBF and a linebacker, dude. They're gonna be like, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah,
like that is part of selling. You really got it. You know, your
loosen
posture.
Up.
Your
tone. I felt bad. I was tired,
dude. Well, and yeah, but also sales. You know, that also your sales guy. I always taught my sales guys to be, you know, you just be confident. You don't have to be cocky, but like people also want to do business with confident people, like, you know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like this, you don't have to have all the answers, but you should look like you have
them. Yeah. And you'll get the answer.
Yeah, you'll get it. I remember I was doing that with, I was a manager at a dealership and there was a big old Polynesian guy. He was actually Officer Ikolu in Woods Cross. He was the guy that the Ikolu special at Mobetta's is named after.
Really?
Because he would go to Mobetta's. This Officer Ikolu would go to Mobetta's and he would order a special plate because they didn't have a plate big enough to feed him. He's like six eight.
That black plate?
That big
Ikolu
special. Dude, the Officer Ikolu is like 6'8". He's like 320 pounds. This dude is he's scared. Bro, I mean, he's the police officer you don't want to see roll up on anything. No. Right? Like, as soon as he gets out, you're like, I didn't do anything.
You know what? Handcuff me right now.
Yeah, I'm going to make this super easy because whatever you can do to make this table, just
for real.
He was off. But so my sales guy goes up and obviously, because here's the part here's why confidence matters. Because your primal brain doesn't know the difference between a new salesperson who's scared and somebody who's trying to manipulate you. Like you like, because you come off as the same, right? Like somebody who's somebody who has like something to hide is going to come off very similar. Going to be real dodgy. They're going to be, their voice is going to be kind of low.
That's true.
Yeah. So you don't know.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're new,
that actually makes a lot of sense for a lot of people I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So like a lot of people I know. So whenever I have that conversation, I'm like, tell them that you're new. Because, and it's not a sales gimmick, and I'm not telling you to say you're brand
new,
but like, yeah, say you're new and like, hey, I'm new to this. I'm like learning the ropes. So if I fumble or mess up, like just give me a little bit of grace. Right. And that, I told this guy to say that. I'm like, you're going to go talk to this guy. I knew it was going to be a train wreck, but I was like, you're going to go talk to this guy. You're going to tell him. He didn't say anything that I told him to say. And so of course I go over and I was like, hey, sorry, he's a new guy. You look like a no BS guy. I'm here to help you. What can I do? He's like, I like you. I was like, great. He's like, I'm trying to buy a car for my niece. We ended up selling her a car. And, but anyway, it was just like, that was though, but how you set it up is,
yeah.
Yeah. But it does. It's true though. Like you don't know the difference. And, that's what I tell people a lot. Like either tell them that you're new and set it up front.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
they're going to think you're lying to them.
Okay. True. Funny story with that. I used to work with this guy who he owns a drink place. And anytime he had a bad customer, just a super tough Karen going up there, he would say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm so new at this. Please be patient with me. And people would. And then he would like turn it on me or somebody else. Like, he's the owner.
right. Yeah.
You're like, what? I just started last Tuesday.
Yeah. Because people, and here's the other thing. It's kind of like what you mentioned. Like, people don't, sometimes they just don't know how they're acting. Like, I heard it one time put by the sad guru. He said, your mouth is right under your nose, but it still takes someone else to tell you that you have bad breath. Right? It's super difficult to be self.
Wow, cool.
Well, but it's never super difficult to be self-aware.
Yeah.
Like, it's very hard. And yeah. So you got to, even like with Karen's or Kyle's or whoever, right? Maybe you just give them some grace. Like, hey, I know this is frustrating. You know, I would tell people like, hey, I know this is frustrating. I know you're probably pissed off at me, but this is going to go a lot smoother if we don't do this. Right. Like, right. Just help me and I'll help you. Like, I'm here to help you. Yeah. And you see people go from 100 to 0.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I didn't realize. Because most people just don't realize that.
Yeah. What's going on? Like, what's happening? You just don't know.
Yeah.
I still feel bad for that BYU kid, man. He's no longer there. He went back to Idaho for school. And when I talked to the new salesman, I'm like, hey, how's he doing? He's like, I think he's good. Why does this guy care about him?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, that's crazy. But
it's like little Bambi, dude. Just like,
I've seen those new sales guys. Well, and especially when you go up Utah County, everybody just tries to. I mean, but car sales is great, dude. I made a lot of money in car sales. Just
how much do you make in car sales? Any, like when you sell a car?
Depends on the dealership. But a good salesperson should sell between 15 and 20 cars a month. And if you're at a good dealership selling 15 or 20, you're probably making 7-8 grand a month.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Maybe, depending. Like when I was in there, dude, we had a lot of our sales team was over 6 figures.
Really?
That's crazy.
I love that. That's so cool.
It's cool. Yeah, but it's a grind, dude. It's freaking hard. Like, it's retail. It sucks.
Yeah.
And
a lot of financials.
And everybody thinks you're out to get them. Like, before they even know you, they just think you're trying to swindle them.
I think there's that big misconception that they have that car salesmen are always sleazy. And
oh, dude, well, yeah.
There are.
They're always going to take advantage.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear a really funny sale? I used to train car salespeople. And the first thing that I did, because I learned it when I first got trained. But so it was day one of training. I had like 20 new car salesmen there, fresh, never been in sales before. And so I went to the whiteboard and I was like, all right, we're going to do an exercise. Tell me the first word that you hear when you hear car salesman. I just introduced myself. Hey, I'm Dalton. I'm your sales trainer. We're going to do it. A thing, you're all new. Yep. Never sold cars before. Nope. But you're selling now. Yep. Okay, cool. Tell me the first word comes to your mind when I say car salesman. They yell them out. Sleazy, dirtbag, scam artist, ripoff, all of these things, right? And I'd get like 15. And I was like, you all agree with these? And they'd be like, yeah. And I'd be like, this is the job you just signed up for.
They look at each other like,
they're like, let's go. They're like, oh, then they go, yeah, but I'm not like that. I just know that that's what people say. And I go, good. That's what we're fighting. This is what you're fighting before you even step on the lot, dude.
Dang, that's hard.
Self-awareness again. It's just self-awareness.
I'd be too scared.
I just tell people. I'm up front. I just go, what's the price on this car? The sticker says 36 grand. They'd be like, yeah, but you can do better than that. I was like, probably. Do you want to take it for a spin?
I feel like I need to take something for a spin.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, probably. I don't know. Maybe. Do you like it? Yeah, they'd be like, well, I don't know. Well, let me figure out. The hardest part is finding something you like, Mr. and Mrs. Customer. The easy part's the money.
True.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
that's true.
No, and that's true with anything.
Body language, too.
Like, that's true with anything.
Yeah.
Like marketing, right? I'm looking at 5 different marketing companies. Well, that's, money's the easiest part, right? Yeah. Finding out the right marketing company to work with, that's gonna be hard.
Yeah, the clients that we run into are on their 3rd or 4th or 5th.
But dude, isn't agency wild, bro?
And yeah,
that's so hard.
The goal is to obviously stop with us. I know that's everybody says that, but
yeah, like,
that's,
well, it's just tough, dude. Yeah. I mean, how do you stop the revolving door?
Yeah,
in my opinion, I think it's simple.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I think it's go just ahead.
Communication.
Yeah, just that's it. Dude. Yeah, 100%.
That's really all we tell that to our clients before we even get into like, we actually have a sales system, and before we even get into price or get into even what we do, the first thing that we say is, hey, we're not, just so we're clear, we're not your advertising company.
Yep.
We're never going to run your pay-per-click. We're never going to run your Facebook ads. That's not us.
Yeah.
We have great people that can help you with that.
Yeah.
But for us, we're just going to focus on one thing, local SEO, and then we get into how we do, and we tailor it back to them and their system. And we say, this is the product that you should have and keep. Mm-hmm. And then when we get you to the point, we can go get you another agency. But again, we don't want you going back to that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But for the most part, you technically don't really need an advertising agency with what we do.
Yeah, you can kind of, so. Well, and it's good to just like I said, start, but yeah.
It's good to start. We still recommend it. We don't, but we technically don't. But it's still, I think it's still okay to
get more. One of the biggest things that really stood out to me when Evan and I were talking about this, and Evan kind of offered me part of the business, it was that we're focusing on communication. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
I have no problem telling a customer, like, yeah, our stuff is month to month. We're not contract-based because if we're not working for you, fire us. No harm, no foul. We get it.
Yeah.
Like, dang, and that's that communication. That. Yeah, and people can call and text us and, hey, how are we doing on this? Like,
yeah,
great. Well,
yeah, and let's go look at it.
Dude, I love that because here's the secret to selling. And this is, I guess there's lots of secrets, but this is probably the number one. Like, you're the best marketing and the best selling is the best behind it is the best offer and product.
Yeah.
Because it's really easy to say like, hey,
no risk.
Dude, if you don't like it, I'll get your money back. That's, you know what I mean? Like that's, I mean, obviously there goes selling into that because some people still don't understand, but like, it's a lot easier. Like sales becomes way easy when you have a good product and a good offer, even if there's no guarantee.
Yeah.
Even if with marketing, like, dude, I can't do it for free. Right. Like,
no,
obviously I can't do it for free, but and obviously I can't give you your money back cause we're going to put a lot of work into this,
yeah.
But you still have a good offer. You still have a good, whatever. Right. Yeah. Like, hey, if this doesn't work in 3 months, I'll fire myself.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about having that call. I'll send you an email and we'll be done. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, exactly. That's pretty cool. And so that's what a good sales process is behind it is the offer. Like if it's really easy, I mean, it's not anybody can sell it, but then, you know, if you can do it. Yeah.
It's been interesting for sure. With the clients that we've talked to so far and like, I don't know, man, like this, we have the conversation with them. It's truly a consultative call. And by the time we like get into our program, they're like, that makes sense. I know we're biased here, but like,
yeah.
And we tell them why they shouldn't use it or why we think we could help them.
Yeah.
And for the most part, like, I feel like we've had a pretty high conversion rate.
Yeah.
For the people that we talk to.
Yeah.
And the people who say no, it's like, oh, I want this, but not right now.
Yeah.
And then you just put them in the pipe. Yeah. Exactly. Well, follow-up's king. Yeah. That's also what people.
Yeah. Well, having, you know, both of us have owned small businesses. And so understanding timing is crucial. And so
that's why this started.
Yeah. Everything
is because we heard this. We sorry to interrupt. Like,
you're good.
We started this because it's a pain point from people dealing with marketing companies. Like, all right, we got to figure something out that's better than this.
Yeah. 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 So, dude, anyways, that's cool. Well, thank you so much, guys, for coming on the podcast, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate you guys.
That's cool. It's nice.
Absolutely. Yeah. Where can everybody find you before I let you go? S-Ranker. Obviously, the ad on the show.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yep.
Best way right now. So our website is in development right now. We're doing some pretty cool stuff with it. So you can't find it this second. It'll be back up in the next couple of weeks. But in the meantime, we're on Facebook.
S-Ranker Marketing.
Yeah. S-Ranker Marketing. Email us. So both of us, Evan at... We actually have www in it. We want to do something different. So www.sranker.com.
That actually threw me off. I was like, did you misspell that?
It was totally on purpose.
Yeah.
It's real.
And then Richard at www.sranker.com.
Yeah, there you go.
Both founders of S-Ranker, and we're just out there grinding. And then if you are in Utah, by the way, Silicone Stomachs, we do this once a month. If you are a business owner between Salt Lake and Utah, you can come from anywhere if you want. But we meet once a month. And we just go find a restaurant in need that can really use some exposure. And it's been a really good group. And I've heard that some of the people, this last one got together and I guess a bunch of deals went down. People made money.
Tons.
And so that wasn't expected. But that's just happens with naturally helping other people. People feel good helping someone else out.
Yeah.
And so we'll be on Facebook. You can join our Silicone Stomachs group. We're on there all the time and we're just going to find the next restaurant and We try not to. Actually, we don't even talk about our business there. We just support the restaurant.
Super and low key. Get low key. Up.
Yeah.
Tell the rules. Have someone from the restaurant get up and talk about it, and then you talk.
Amen.
So we'd love to have you. So thank you so much for having us today, man.
Yeah, dude. So, appreciate you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Cool.